in 2000 and 2001 before my divorce from my Catholic marriage. And I do not recall, maybe he did and didn't tell me, I do not recall ever seeking the permission of either of the bishop in either the Diocese of Charlotte, North Carolina, or the Diocese of New Orleans for permission to divorce. As a matter of fact, I recall one of the priests actually saying that, well, you know, it happens. It's no big deal. We're just going to go file the paperwork and be done with it. And after that's done, then we could talk about article or a decree of nullity. It was just presented to us as, well, just another walk in the park, just another day. It's just another day at the church. That's all. And upon reflecting 16 years later, I go like, man, that was really jacked up. They should have been going, no, you, hey, you need to stop what you're doing and you need to get your act together and get back to that house, that wife and those kids is what should have been told to me. It wasn't. And that's the fact, Jack.
Okay. It's a mess. So you said a lot there.
That's what I do, Bay. I say a lot.
I know. That's good. Regarding the numbers or percentages of annulments, mm-hmm. prior to the 1983 Code of Canon Law, the United States had permission to kind of put things on a fast track only in the United States for about 12 years. Cardinal Raymond Burke says that during that time, we got annulments to be called Catholic divorce because they were granted so often. And he said that at the highest tribunals in Rome, they were finding that these annulments were being done with shoddy practices. And I'm paraphrasing, obviously. Both Pope Benedict and Pope St. John Paul II have criticized English-speaking tribunals for abuses of certain grounds for annulment. And the ones that are abused are the psychological grounds for annulment. If someone is so mentally impaired at the time they consent to marriage that they actually don't know what they're doing, they're not capable of making a decision, that is not a valid marriage. You can't marry a six-year-old. You can't marry an extreme schizophrenic when they're drunk and on drugs. So, okay. But what these two popes were criticizing was the abuses of these. And there was a guy who had an article in St. Ignatius Press, the one for priests, Homiletic and Pastoral Review. There was a guy who wrote an article in there where he studied the annulments granted in Rome that were doing appeals, reviews. 95% of the annulments granted in the United States during the five-year period of his study, when the U.S. granted an annulment for these psychological grounds, Rome overturned it and said no. So that's enough for me to know there are abuses going on with these psychological grounds for annulment. But now going back to your priest, if the priests are never educated about needing the bishop's permission.
Sure.
Anyone knows that after Vatican II and in the 60s, the sexual revolution was occurring inside the church as much as it was everywhere else. So I can't slight a priest for not knowing what the priest does not know. What's curious is now when I'm publishing on my website what the church teaching is, I have canon lawyers attacking me personally, saying that they have no business to even talk to me because I don't have a canon law degree, and I just throw up my hands and say, whatever. If the priest had told you that you need the bishop's permission, then what would be happening is there would be some kind of investigation. There would be a determination, is there a legitimate reason for separation of spouses here, or is somebody just really angry, really hurt, and holding on to a grudge? And anyone who's had any friends or any family in their entire life knows we all do that to one level or another.
Sure,
but absolutely. It's not a ground for permanent separation of spouses. So if the church did dedicate the resources to implementing these canon laws, and we show people how to ask that they be implemented, we could have investigations at the time of separation. And then the other really cool thing is the church is the one who has to judge on what kind of separation is in accord with divine law. So if you had a woman who's just bought the feminazi thing, lock, stock, and barrel, her husband gained weight, he's not as handsome, whatever, and she's really excited about her career, and she's kind of annoyed, she wants to dump her husband. Okay, the more she emotionally detaches, the more she can't stand being near him, she's not emotionally interested, he's repulsive. Nonetheless, you know these women, they exist. So, but if she's a serious Catholic and the church investigates and the church gives a decree that says, okay, ma'am, you don't have any legitimate reason for separation. If you move forward with your civil divorce, you are by definition a malicious abandoner. What will happen? If she cares at all about her faith, it might shake her up. Anyone watching will know, oh, the church is actually against marital abandonment. Because right now the church doesn't know that. And then, furthermore, if she's told that, and then if she comes forward and says, you know what, I want an annulment. Okay, ma'am, on what grounds? If the grounds for the annulment is that she should get a psychological annulment based on incapacity to consent, well, what does that mean? She was so screwed up mentally at the time of her marriage that she could not conceptualize what marriage is. Openness to children, permanence, fidelity, orientation towards the good of the spouses. If she was so mentally screwed up that she can't understand that, in most states, we have state civil annulment based on mental problems. So what happens with the property split? What happens with support? If a man was never married to a woman who tricked him into supporting her for 14 years, does he have to pay her support for a long time? Does he have to give her any property? No.